Hi, my name's Jamie, and our scripture reading for today comes from 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. It says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message of God, that God gave the world at just the right time. And I have been chosen as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles this message about faith and truth. I'm not exaggerating. I'm just telling the truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome, buddy.
Listen, I forgot an announcement. How is this possible? We're about to do something up here, and there's a handout up on the speaker. Here's who needs that handout. If you love numbers and spreadsheets, if Excel, I don't even know how to say Excel because that is how not excited about Excel I am. But if Excel makes you excited, will you get a sheet? Jamie loves it. No one will be mad if you get up here and grab a seat. You're going to have to get up here. I want to introduce my friends to you this morning. This is Johnny Williams and Josh Adkins. Look, we're everyone. Yeah, thank you, Excel people. I am so glad to know you all. This is wonderful. Here's what we're doing. Everyone's like, I'm kind of an Excel person, but I was nervous to stand up. Be proud. Here's what we're going to do this morning. This is Johnny Williams, Josh Adkins. We are going to do something this morning that we call How Stuff Works. And here's what that means. That means that we are going to peel back the curtain of our church and show you how things actually work behind the scenes. We're going to answer questions like, who's on staff here? Because we get that one a lot. Answer questions like how we spend money and where we're going and who makes decisions for the church and all kinds of things. And so our hope is to answer questions that we get regularly from you guys so that we make sure that you know what we know. We very much like to peel back the curtain and for you to see what's going on. And so if there's anything, sometimes things like this raise more questions than they answer. And so I just want to say before we even get started that if this leads to more questions for you, will you come find any of us, call us, text us, email us that information. My email address is just lindsay@vineyardspringbrook.org. So send me an email. We would love for you to know all that we know. This is like a summary of how we spend money. There is a way more detailed report that I'm glad to email you if you're like, I actually want to know where every dollar and cent goes, then we'll send it to you. So any questions that you have, we would love to answer. But we're going to take turns and kind of go through a few things and a few questions again that we think that you have. And so I'm going to let Johnny start us out. But one question that we get a lot is who makes decisions at Springbrook? How do we make decisions? And will you take it away,
yep.
J-Dub?
Like Lindsay said, my name is Johnny Williams. I used to be on staff here. Not anymore. And I used to also have to be the guy that did the money stuff, but now Josh has to do it. so that's great. So Lindsay asked me to talk a little bit about how decisions get made, who's making them, what is kind of the governance structure of our church, and all of that sounds pretty boring, I'm sure to most of you. But the truth is that Paul's spilt a lot of ink throughout the New Testament trying to explain how we should set up our churches. And we do that through a couple of different teams. The one I want to talk about specifically is our board. And it is made up of, how many people we got right now? 5 to 9 people, according to our bylaws. But I'm not, I think there's seven of us right now. Are they on the screen right now? Okay, great. If they're here, I'm going to ask them to stand up. But on that board is myself and Lindsay, and then also Lisa Bell. She's here somewhere. There she is right there. Nick Kessler, who I don't think is here.
Please send Nick Kessler an email saying you missed him today.
Yes. Sawyer Hill is right there. Is Megan here? I don't think Megan's here either. Megan Brooks, she's on the screen. Brett Heppner, in the back there.
Ooh.
Yep. And then finally, Lindsay's on that, and she actually serves as the president of our board, and I can get into more of that here in a minute and why she's actually the president. So how decisions get made? So we like to leave the decision-making process up into two teams, one the board and one the staff. And the way we break that down is a lot of the vision and strategic decisions get made at the board level, and a lot of the ministry-specific decisions get made on the staff level. The reason we do that is because we want the people that are actually leading the ministries to be the one making the decisions for those ministries. And we want the board, or we want to free the staff up from having to make those legal, financial, big decisions that that they don't necessarily need or have to make. So, the board it oversees the vision of the church. It oversees a lot of the strategic measures that we take as a church. Another big responsibility that we as a board have is making sure that Lindsay and the staff are holding the values that we hold as a church. Through the decisions that they're making at the ministerial levels, we want to ensure that the values that we hold tightly to as a church are getting upheld all the way through all of the flows of the church. So another question that I get from time to time is, how do you become a board member, or how are we choosing who's actually on our board? So for a lot of you that have come from different denominational backgrounds, whether it be Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, like every denomination has a different way of doing that. Some of them are congregational elected, some of them are not. We are not a congregationally elected board. So the way that goes about getting someone added to the board is, Lindsay will bring somebody, like if there's an opening that we need to fill on our board, Lindsay will actually bring a name to our team, and then we will discuss it, and we'll spend a month praying and discerning about that name, and then we'll do an actual vote by the board the following month. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that decision, like we require our boards to meet all the requirements of a member, and you know, they have to have good standing in the community and their families and all that stuff. So we take those decisions not lightly. So if you got more questions about that, feel free to ask me afterwards. And then finally, and then I'll turn it back over to Lindsay, is we get a lot of questions about how long can you serve and what's the turnover and all that stuff. So our bylaws state that a board member can serve for 2 years, and then again for another 2-year term if it is so deemed by that person and by the board. So they can serve a total of 4 years before they have to roll off. Let's see. Oh, this is what I also wanted to say. Our board has guided us through. So if you're visiting or you're new, our church split off from a different church about a year ago, and our board guided us through that. And I was just really, really proud of how we handled that. And we say at the end of the sermon, or at the end of the service in our sending prayer, we ask for wisdom and courage and kindness. I think that our board has that in spades. They've done really, really well at leading with wisdom and courage and kindness over the last year, and continue to do so now. So I'm really proud of the way we've set things up and the way that we make decisions. And so the board.
Also, during that exact time that we were becoming our own autonomous church, I got really, really sick. So the board also had to navigate, what do you do if your pastor is going to be in the hospital for the rest of the year? And so I just, from my seat, I love and trust these people so much. And they were so wise. They brought in people from the outside when we didn't know what to do, and looked for wisdom and looked for advice. One of our deepest values is I don't want to make any decisions in a silo. I don't want anyone in our congregation making any decisions in a silo. We're really very round table, and we make decisions all together. And so, I don't know. It's a good thing. I would like to tell you about our staff. Also, I would like to acknowledge that we have said bylaws like 3 times, which is the most that's ever been said on this stage. So we're 10. We're growing up, guys. But I would like to tell you about our staff. So we have done things a little bit different over the last 6 months. We tried an experiment that is going very, very well for us. We had an opening for an associate pastor position that came about a year ago, and we sat on this for a little while to pray about what the next steps looked and like. And so did we want to hire a full-time associate pastor to do about 6 to 8 different jobs? If you know Chris Campbell well, then he will tell you his job description had like 6 or 8 jobs on it. And then we also, as a board, started to imagine what might it look like to hire individuals to accomplish those 6 to 8 jobs based on their skill set and what they're best at. And so that's actually what we ended up deciding to do. So our staff, I'm the only full-time member of our staff. Everyone else is part-time from a lot of hours to a little bit of hours, doing what they're best at. Everyone has usually only 1 or 2 jobs, which is revolutionary in our church. In small churches, people just do a lot of things. And so our staff is me, and then we have 3 associate pastors. The first is Erin Britt. She looks lovely up there. If you're like, does she still go here? Yes, she had a baby. So if you've been visiting us in the last 6 weeks, Erin had a baby 6 weeks ago. And so she's got 2 more weeks, and then we're going to start seeing her again, which I'm so excited about. I've been really trying to like respect her boundaries, but also like, do you want to hang out with me all the time? I do miss you. So Erin Britt is our one exception to not having just 1 or 2 jobs. Erin, basically what she runs is anything that has to do with volunteers, kids ministry, youth ministry, things like that. Erin has traditionally run all of that stuff. She is very much the right hand of our church. The second 2 associate pastors, one is Josh Adkins and the other is Sarah Stokes. And we brought them on to do pastoral care. What was happening is that we were doing pastoral care, but I got to a point where I felt like it was becoming response when something went wrong, when someone was struggling in their faith, when these things were happening. And I love doing that. It's absolutely one of the best parts of the job. But what I was concerned about is that there weren't people who were just checking in and getting to know people and getting to know new people who didn't have things going on or trauma or tragedy in their lives. And so the joy of bringing on Sarah and Josh is that this is what they do. So if you want to get to know a pastor, if you have questions, if you want to meet with someone, will you, josh@vineyardspringbrook.org, sarah@vineyardspringbrook.org, they would love to spend time with you and love to meet you. And they both have a little bit of a specialty. Sarah runs our core groups, and Josh helps me, I keep saying, with development. He gets his eyes on money and numbers and is helping me to plan strategy and stuff like that around those things. The next 3 people on this slide are Emily Hitch, Brad Hitch, and Daniel Mizell. Emily Hitch we brought on last fall to write all of the curriculum that is happening in kids ministry. If what your kids are doing, Emily is writing and preparing and working on. Bringing her on has been one of the greatest additions. We have loved it. We are watching kids flourish in this really cool and unique way. So we went from using a curriculum that was mostly video to allowing teachers to teach, and that has been a really exciting shift for us. Brad and Daniel both have led worship at Springbrook Vineyard for 10 years. 10 years. And before that, they were on the worship team at Maryville Vineyard who planted us. So 20 years, these two have been faithfully volunteering in worship, and we have never paid them a dollar. And so one of the joys of this new model is that in January, we finally got to pay them a little teeny tiny amount. but we got to pay them for the work that they do, which is so, so much. Leading worship is more than just playing an instrument. It's also knowing what key every song needs to be in. It's scheduling volunteers. It's working out songs and prayers and all kinds of things. And so these two guys have loved and served our church so well and so faithfully. And so it was such a joy and an honor to be like, hey, thank you for setting up the stage every single Saturday all by yourself. We want to pay you to do that. And so we brought them on. The next slide is a few of our contract employees that we are madly in love with. These folks serve in different ways. So the first two I want to talk about are Melissa Webb and Katie Murren. Melissa and Katie came on this summer to help us fill in holes that we would have when Aaron had a baby. So in order for Aaron to get to have a baby, we had to hire two additional people, which should tell you all that Aaron does in the world. And so Melissa and Katie have been an amazing addition to our team. Melissa handles all things admin and planning center, so scheduling volunteers if you volunteer. And Katie is managing stuff with kids, which is absolutely amazing. If you notice all of our new kids' decorations, that's Katie. She is absolutely wonderful. The next person on the list is going to be the maddest that I'm going to say their name, but James Halter, we also got to bring on about a year ago. James sets up our service every single Sunday morning. And I don't know, I wanted to put him up here for many reasons, but one, I don't know something that has served me personally more since we've been a church than not having to worry about if the chairs are going to get set up every single Sunday. And James faithfully shows up Sunday after Sunday, but he doesn't just set up chairs. He gets the whole room set up, and then he's like praying over the room. He prays over us. He is absolutely incredible. He manages our teardown team. He also volunteers to sit back there in that hallway so that all of you who are late and sneak in that back door don't have to just knock on the door and beg someone to let you in. No one asks him to do that. He does it week after week after week, and he serves us so well and so faithfully and has made my life wonderful. So, and then our last staff member is Erin Wright. Erin Wright, it does all things communication. She's our graphic designer. She prepares the slideshows for every Sunday. She does all of our social media and all of that stuff. So we love Erin. She is the absolute best. She does not attend church here, but the best part about Erin is she loves Springbrook so much that every other month she comes and leads worship for us. So if you've ever been here on a Sunday that Erin's leading worship, then you are blessed. I don't know. You're welcome. She's incredible. So this is our staff. Lots of part-time folks. It has been a joy for me. Like I said, I'm a really collaborative person. I like working on a team. I like working in a group. And so to sit around a table with these people all the time and dream about stuff for our church and dream about where we could go feels like, in a lot of ways, we have lived some incredible days. But I just have this feeling that our best days are ahead of us because of this team and what they've been able to do. Next is really exciting. We're going to talk about money. Welcome if you're visiting. I actually think this is the best Sunday to visit a church because you're going to see how we do things. And you can be like, nope, I don't like it. Or, yeah, I love it. So, Josh, take it away.
All right. Hey, where are my numbers people at? Scott Hitch, I know you're there. Lisa, all right. This is going to be great. I want to say up front, there can be a stigma attached with talking about finances from up front on a Sunday. Maybe there's need or deficit or a lack. This story is the opposite, okay? I just want you to breathe easy. This is abundance, provision, surplus, okay? So let's go away on a journey to talk through these financial statements together. The first thing I'd like to talk about is our income. Vineyard Springbrook relies solely on the generosity of people and groups to allow us to operate. We do not have revenue streams. If we sell a hat or a t-shirt, that's not a money maker, it's just to cover the cost. We operate solely on gifts. And so far this year, the gifts have totaled $208,000, which is an amazing amount of money through 8 months. On average, that's about $26,000 a month. As a comparison, over last year the average month was $22,500. So we are growing at about 15%, which is just incredible growth. So it's a testament to God and his provision and the generosity of the people in this room. The $208,000 has been a team effort. 81 individuals or families unique individuals or families have given in some way to our church this year. Many of those gifts are recurring and regular gifts, but 81 people have given at least something to go towards that total. And we do have a little bit of interest income, $4,000 or so, but that's nothing that we rely on. So that's how we got to 212.
Bonus money.
Right. So in terms of our expenses, I thought it might be helpful to say, as a percentage of our income, how are we dividing out what we spend? And I think we have a pie chart to show that. So for every dollar that we receive, how do we divide it out? And the first biggest category by far is personal expenses. Lindsay's personal expenses, $94,853. Oh, that's personnel expenses. That makes a lot more sense. Personnel is 44% of what we bring in. And that's to pay the staff, to take care of Lindsay with some benefits that she would need as a full-time staff person. So 44% of what we bring in goes to pay our staff. The next biggest line is savings, which I want to save for the end. And hit a couple of these other ones. So they're very similar in size. Administration and programming, around 10.6%. This is the cost of just kind of operating as a business. We have an accounting system that we use to help us produce financial reports and cut some paychecks. And this is also where we would pay Erin Wright for her services with design. Missions, around 10%. Missions is the needs that we perceive here, near, and far. We give money monthly to the Big Vineyard at a national level, and we have intentional giving that we give to missional organizations. Ministry would represent our kids and children's programming, what we spend for our youth, what we spend for our core group ministry, and also allows us as pastors to get meals with the church, and we would lump that into that category. And then facilities, we do pay a fee, a reasonable fee, to meet here each week. We pay our setup and teardown crew out of this category as well. So if you add up the money that we send out, it comes up to about 80% of what we bring in. So we are actually saving over 20% of every dollar that we raise this year. So I think it's a story of really good stewardship that we would save that much this year. So as I've been thinking about how to share this, there's two questions that kind of pop in my mind that maybe you'll have, and I just want to try to address those. And the first would be, Josh, why would we be saving more than twice of what we're spending on missions, or why are we saving double what we're spending on our ministries? And that's a great question. And the answer is this: we're still operating under the guidelines of our 2025 budget. A year ago, our board and others sat down to formulate a budget for what we thought 2025 was going to be like. And there was a big unknown lingering in the air, which is that we were about to break off from Maryville Vineyard and become our own entity. And we didn't know how that was going to impact giving. So the budget is conservative, and the amount of money that we allocated to spend on missions or ministry was conservative as well. The reality has been we've blown that budget out of the water. Lindsay's three-year plan was to get to $25,000 a month in giving. So by 2027, she wanted us to be at $25,000. We were there by February of this year. And that's just continued to grow. Yeah. So
and I was like ambitious because our percentage of how we've grown year after year, I was like, maybe if we pray a lot, we can get there in 3 years. And then thank you. Yeah.
So a group of people are going to sit down soon and come up with a 2026 budget. And I anticipate that we would have a higher allocation going towards ministry and going towards missions now that we have this confidence of the money that's going to come in. So, and the second question, maybe if you look at these numbers and say, what's the point of me giving if you guys are saving that much money every month? What's the point if you've never given before? What's the point of starting now? And I think that's valid too. And as I thought about that, the word that comes to my mind is vision. I think this church has vision of how we want to spend our money, of how we want to take care of this treasure. I know Lindsay has vision over a building that she can talk about later, but this church has vision over how to use the funds, and I think we can see that 2026, we're going to be able to spend so much more money on these ministries and missions that we believe in. But even more than that, and this is my soapbox, but I feel that a rhythm of intentional, consistent, sacrificial giving is really important to us as followers of Jesus. It's a big part of my life, and I think it contributes to a fullness of relationship with God, akin to praying and akin to being here and worshiping together. So this is not a pitch for you to give to this church or give more to this church. This is a pitch for you to take seriously your giving, to evaluate, and see where God is calling you to, because I think in God's economy, can we use the money? Yeah, we'll use it. But I think God can use, he wants your heart, and he wants you to be a part of that process of bringing his kingdom to earth. So if it's not here, that's fine. Find a kingdom organization and develop a consistent rhythm of giving. So thank you so much for the generosity in this room and how it's enabled us to operate so well this year. And if you do have follow-up questions, I'm happy to talk to you afterwards. Lisa Bell is also really tuned into the numbers, and I'm sure she would talk as well. Thanks.
I love it. Some of you remember for years and years me staying on stage and being like, could we get a few hundred dollars more this month? And can we make this work? And so it's been an overwhelming place to sit of just so much gratitude that we're able to say yes to so many things that we feel like God is asking of us and calling us to do. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Do you want to add anything? I saw you taking a note. Okay. okay, I want to talk through two more things. Josh mentioned missions, and I really want to give you an update on what that looks like here for us at Springbrook. He used the phrase here, near, and far, and that is the phrase that our board and staff have used to dream up what missions looks like. And so here's what we mean by that. That means that we give, like you said, we give money to our denomination, Vineyard USA. We're part of a giant network of churches that is all over, really all over the world, but our denomination exists in America. And then outside of that, we took our money to give to missions and we divided it into thirds. So a third of it stays in our community. It is a here kind of thing. And so that means that we are giving to needs that arise. We give to families. We helped put a transmission in a car a few weeks ago. We have paid rent. We try to keep lights on places, things like that. We also, I say this a lot, we self-appointed ourselves as the PTO of Maryville Academy. We work with family resource centers in all of the schools. We support Young Life staff and folks at Magnolia Ministries, which is a ministry to vulnerable women in Knoxville. We support missionaries. Really, as a church, our idea is not that we would create every system and program in all of the world. Our idea is that our role as a church is for us to look at what God is doing out in the world and join in on whatever we can, whatever he asks us to join in on. We're not trying to recreate every wheel. We want to resource the wheels that already exist. And so that's what the here money goes to. The near money means money that stays in the United States but goes beyond our little community. And the way that that works is we support two missionaries that work with a group called Exponent Group. We work a lot with this group, Exponent Group, and they are a church planting, church resourcing, and community development group that exists in America. And so we support two missionaries through them, Seth Bouchel and Chad Stewart. Seth plants churches in New York City, and Chad used to be our associate pastor, and then we sent him away to Atlanta to go plant churches in Atlanta. And so that's where our near money goes. And then the far is money that is going to go to support work overseas, different mission efforts overseas. And so that has been one of our biggest questions in becoming our own autonomous church. We have forever and continue to support the Freedom House, which is a home for children in Haiti. And so that is definitely a part of that. The other piece of it is that we wanted to join some sort of partnership, again, to look at what God is doing in the world and see where we can join in. We told you last fall that was going to be in Iceland, and we were fired up about it, and then it kind of fizzled out, which is a super bummer. And so we are now on the hunt for something new, and what's exciting is in the last 3 weeks, I think I've had 3 meetings, I have another one next week, of folks who are saying, hey, here's what we've got going on, would you want to join us in that work? And we're talking to vineyard churches and ministries that we already partner with, and so soon there should be a lot of updates on that, but we absolutely want to join not only financially overseas, but with our prayers, with our bodies. We want to take you places and do actual ministry efforts. So that's what missions looks like in our church. It's something that we love and feel a lot of passion around, and something that keeps me up at night in excitement, not in a bad way.
Lindsay, do you want to update on where we've spent money on our FAR so far?
Yes. A few weeks ago, we did an event called Rise Against Hunger. And so because things hadn't really progressed in Iceland, our board voted to take the missions money that we had set aside for the year, and we made an extra donation to get rice and vegetables and vitamins to all sorts of people in food insecurity places all over the planet, which was really fun to get a donation to that. Got it. Okay. Last but not least, this is, Josh mentioned a building and vision. The question I get more than any other question at this church is, do you ever want a permanent building? And my answer is yes. Yes, I do. Do you have one? Not rhetorical. Here is where we are as a building. Our board is pretty united on this. We talk about it frequently, honestly. And one of the places that we've landed is that we are not in a hurry for a building, but we are so unbelievably open to a building. That's kind of the phrasing that keeps coming up over and over again. And part of that is we want to get in the right space, and we need it to be at the right price. And one of the things that we hope and have vision for is to find a space that won't sit empty all week long. We want a space that serves the community, that does the things that we say are really, really important to us. And so that's what we have our eyes on. Here's the reality. If another space that was free came upon us that might sit empty during the week, I'd take a free space. I would do it. So if you have a free church building, if you would call me, or if your brother does, I don't care.
I would take a cheap one too.
Cheap or free is great. Yeah. So. But we're also exploring how do we do that? What does wisdom look like for the way that we would purchase a space down the road? What does it look like to resource inside but also outside of our church to make this happen? And what partnerships are needed? And so we have meetings about this regularly. We visit places. I visited a spot a couple of weeks ago. So that is very much in the forefront and in our minds. And I would say that part of the answer that when I thought Josh asked those two great questions, like, why would you give at this point in time? And part of that, the reason that we wanted to get to that magic 25,000 number is we knew that we would have to get there if we were ever going to be able to afford our own space, based on all of the numbers that we crunch behind the scenes and what it will cost us to be in a permanent space. I can't stress how cheap it is for us to be here in the grand scheme of things. And so it allows us to set in a space. That's why we save as much as we save at this point of the year, is that it is with vision for one day having a permanent location. The great news is about a year ago, we got an office space at First Baptist Maryville, who are just the most wonderful, generous people. And so in a wonderful exchange, by making a donation to their youth mission trip, we get an office space, which was I think won out on that deal. But come visit us. We're upstairs at First Baptist Maryville. So having a space where we can meet during the week, where we can have a printer and store files and all of that kind of stuff, as well as having James so faithfully helping us with setup, I feel like we've bought a little bit more time to be able to use the school and grow in this space as we look for what's next and look for something new. Thoughts?
Speaking of building, I do have some thoughts and dreams about what it would look like for us to be in a mixed-use facility. So if you're sitting in this room and you think, man, I'm entrepreneurial and business-minded, come talk to me afterwards and I'll cast my vision to you and see if we can figure something out. So thanks.
Got any thoughts? We did it. A good old-fashioned business meeting. Way to go, everyone. You did it. I'm so proud of you. We're going to do something together right now. First off, if you are new with us, or you like came home from college and you're like, great, I came on Business Sunday. Wonderful. Here's what we want to do. We wanted to save the last few minutes and do something that we actually do every single week here at Springbrook. And that is we wanted to do a prayer practice all together. We call it Selah. It's just a space in our service to sit and to be with the Lord and in a more quiet and reflective way. And so here's what I want to do is for the next few minutes, I want to ask you to pray over these things. Will you pray for our staff? Will you pray for me? Will you pray for our board? Would you pray for our finances? Would you pray and pray and pray that God would continue to bless our church and grow our church, and that people would know the healing and incredible love of Jesus because we exist in this world. And so I can't think of anything that I would rather do with you all on a Sunday morning than sit together and pray about these things in this place that is so important. I'm kind of in my feels today. I told you my twins turned 18, and I just am a little bit, I don't know, it's just a sentimental morning, and I can't express to you what it has meant for this church to exist and to grow and form them. I'm about to send them out into the world, and I'm sending them out as well-loved and well-served and well-formed by this place, and I want to keep going, and I want to keep doing this for more and more and more kids and adults and people all over our community. So we're going to use the passage that Jamie read to us right before we came on to do this, and we're going to use it as kind of a guided prayer. And so there'll be some music in the background, and the verses will pop up on the screen, and after you read the verse, you're going to have a prayer prompt. So we'll read it. We're just going to kind of follow the way that the prayer worked. You can use this prayer for anything. Use it to pray for the government. Use it to pray for organizations, all kinds of things. But I want to ask you to use this to pray for us today, if you would be willing. And again, if you're visiting with us and you're a person of faith, I treasure your prayers. Will you, even if you plan to never come again, will you pray for this space? Because it is so special. And if you're here and you're not a person of faith, you're like, somehow this just got weirder. I want to say welcome to this, and we're going to offer you a quiet moment, and that is a rare thing in this world. So for the next few minutes, we're just going to sit together and pray. I'm going to pray for us and bless it, and then there will be some prompts on the screen for you to follow along. All right, let's pray. So Holy Spirit, every week I ask that you would wake us up to your Spirit in us and among us. And I ask that you would do this in these next few minutes, that you would take all of this information and would you allow it to sink into us in a way that fills us with knowledge of how to pray. And would you allow it to sink into us in a way that fills us with vision of where we're going and who we want to be. I pray that you would take all of these things. We offer all of them to you. And we believe that when we do that, you will take the things we offer and you will bless them and you will put them back into the world for your glory and for our flourishing. And so we ask you to do that with this place and these people and this money and this vision. Would you take us and would you bless us and would you put us back into the world for your glory and for the flourishing of us and the flourishing of our community? I thank you for what you've done here, what you're continuing to do here. Would you bless and keep us? In your name we pray, amen.